says, I love God enough and know that he loves me so much that I have to show the whole world. And I have to actually screw up my courage and step in front of a congregation of people and tell them why I'm doing this. And then trust Elaine enough not to drop me, that I'm going to go deep under the water and come back up again and experience this extraordinary new life that Christ has promised. It's an incredible, amazing, beautiful thing. You know that there's something powerful and something new at work. And we as Baptists, we sometimes talk about baptism, and we're really clear to say it's just a symbol. It's just a symbol. It's just a symbol. Well, let me tell you, there's no such thing as just a symbol. It's a powerful reenactment of what Jesus Christ did when he went to the cross, when he died, when he was buried, when he rose again. And in that act of baptism, what we're doing is we're saying, we are in this with Christ. We are wound around with Christ. We are dying with Christ. We're being buried with Christ. Why? So that we can rise to a new life with Christ. There's all sorts of verses in the Bible that speak to this new life that we have. We heard one read earlier from Romans. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. What an extraordinary promise. In the Gospel of John, those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. There's Jesus talking to a woman who had nothing going for her, and he says, come to me. Come to the water. You'll never be thirsty if you drink of me. It's new life. In 1 Peter, by his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's something new. There's something alive. There's a new creation that happens in that moment of conversion and then baptism, which follows it along. In 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Isabella has become new. She is a new creation. She isn't what she was before. So many of you sitting there have been baptized, have at some point in your life said, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. That's the life that I want to lead. And you have experienced what it is to become something new. The old has passed away. The old got swept away in those waters and left behind. And what rose up out of those waters is a new creation. It's an extraordinary thing. Paul's writing to the Romans, and he's saying to them, this is an extraordinary thing. We who have proclaimed faith in Jesus Christ and been baptized have effectively died and been buried with Christ. We've been wrapped around, united with Jesus Christ, so that in his death, we share. What's the good news about that? What's so good about it? Oh, I died today. I don't know where Isabella is, but she can share that story. There you go. You can share that story on Facebook today. Today, I died. And people will wonder how you posted it. And then you get this extraordinary opportunity to tell them about your new life and that you are a new creation, because that's what it is. What's the good news about the death? Part. You know what? I'll just use this mic, Jay. The good news about the death is this. Sin only has dominion or control or power on living people. Sin is part of this world, these bodies, this life. If you die, sin loses. It has no more power. And we think of sin as being the things that we do, but try and shift your thinking a minute just to think about sin as being a realm or a dominion or a country that you grew up in and you spent your whole life living in. Sin is this place that has dominion, that gets to say how you live your life, what your life is going to look like, what your relationships are going to be like, all the things that are going on in your life. Sin gets to say, sin has a rule over that because it's Lord of Lords and King of Kings until you die, and it has nothing. So when we die with Christ, when we share in Christ's death, we're moving out of sin's territory. It can't reach us anymore. Paul was so excited about this. It took him six chapters to write this in his book to the Romans. He was so excited. He wanted everybody to get it. And he's going to say it over and over again. He was so excited that as we are baptized, we are dying and being buried. See, lots of people died, and even Jesus, there are people who died who rose up to life again, like the story of Lazarus, and there were one or two others that just got rose up to life again. The key is the burial, because in the burial, there's no coming back from that. And so when we die, we're saying, I'm not just passing out for a few minutes. I'm dead. I'm gone. Sin cannot touch me anymore. I live in a new country. I speak a new language. I have a new King of Kings, and I have a new Lord of Lords who gets to say what my life is going to be like. This is the good news. If we die with Christ, sin can't touch us anymore. Romans 6:6 puts it this way. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. This is amazing, incredible good news. This is what you just witnessed in the baptistry. Somebody dying and being buried with Christ so that they could raise to new life with him. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And I want to pause for a moment on that word united. What does it mean that we are united with Christ? The Greek word has to do with grafting, is the best that we can understand it. For those of you who are farmers and horticulturalists, forgive me if I miss some of the nuances of grafting, because I can't even just grow a plant, never mind grow two of them together. So this is the best I can explain this thing called approach grafting. You have, say, two trees, and you want them to get strength kind of from each other. You plant them nice and close together, and then what you do, yeah, there's the picture on your left there. You shave off a little bit of the bark so it's a little bit vulnerable. Then you push them together, and you tie them together, and then in the space of like a month, they have actually grown together, and as time goes on, they knit together so that you've got a joining of two plants that wasn't there before. And you can actually, if one of them has weak roots, you can hack it off, and it will still survive because it'll depend on the roots of the other one. If one of it's a little bit sickly, you can take care of that as well. It's this incredible thing that's what Paul was talking about when he said that we have been united with Christ in his death, that we have been put together, bound together. It's like two trees that grow up so close together that their trunks all just wrap around each other. It's like somebody who has had a bad, severe burn, and they have to take skin from one other part of the body to patch it up, to graft it on to somewhere else. It's not like we're just walking down a road and we go, hey, Jesus, you want to walk together for a little while? It's so much more substantial and incredible than that. There's a complete connectedness, a unitedness that goes on when we are grafted together in Christ's death. That is then where we also experience that life. That's why in Galatians, Paul was able to say, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. It's such good news. And you know, it would be even better news if it didn't sound a little bit like we were being tricked. You are dead to sin. You are a new creation. The old has gone. Sin no longer has dominion. So then why the heck does sin still seem to be running things in my life? Why do I still do the things I don't want to do and not do the things that I want to do? Why is it that I still get angry sometimes for no reason? Why is it that I don't have any patience? Why is it that I'm not as generous as I should be? Why is it that I'm not always very kind? Why is it that sometimes I'm just plain mean to people? If it's true that Christ has come along and I'm no longer in that realm anymore, that that's no longer the Lord of Lords and King of Kings in my life, that I really have a new life and a new creation, then what's up with my life? Because sometimes it sure seems like sin actually does have say. Like I'm not so much a new creation. Like, yeah, I came up out of the waters, but that was so long ago. I feel like I need to go back down again and come up again. Sometimes I feel like I should come in and fill up the baptistry and just do it midweek while I'm here. It's kind of like a daily ritual. Do you ever feel like you just can't win? Like, even though you desperately want to live a life that honors God, you fail more often than you succeed? Do you ever feel like maybe you could be just a little nicer or more generous or more patient, but you can't? Like maybe you should be able to forgive just one more time, but you just don't want to this time. Do you like the message of God's grace that you've been made right thanks to Christ alone, but still feel like your life should look different than it does somehow? Do you still feel like you're a slave to sin no matter what the Bible says about being free? Do you sometimes feel like you just can't get it together? And it's all good and well to hear that God has made you right, that Jesus Christ justified you, made you right, but you don't feel right. You feel like maybe God isn't looking too closely if he thinks that you've been made right, because you know what's going on inside of you. And maybe you can keep it out to the world out there and everybody else thinks you've been made right too, but deep down inside you're sitting there going, I'm not really sure I am. And what does that mean? Are the verses that promise that I will be a new creation, that I will have new life, that I will never thirst again, are those verses lying? Or maybe they're right and I'm the one who's wrong. Like I just didn't get it somehow. Like my baptism just didn't stick. Something's wrong with me. Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe I haven't been made right with God because I'm not acting like it all the time. Do you ever have those kind of thoughts sometimes get into your head? What is it? Is Scripture right? Is Scripture wrong? Am I right? Am I wrong? What am I supposed to do with all of this? I think the key we find is in Romans 6, verses 12 to 13. Paul has just finished talking about this new life, this extraordinary good news. And then he writes these words. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not let sin exercise dominion. We'll stay on there for a second, Carla. Do not let sin. See, I think sometimes we act as if we are just passive recipients of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ did all the work, and we sit back and we let it flow over us. And that's all we have to do. And if he really wanted us to be good, he'd take care of it. And we really would have the new life. And all we have to do is sit back and accept it. That's often, I mean, when we talk about sharing the gospel, oftentimes what people say is, there's this free gift. You just have to go with open hands. I preached this sermon weeks ago. You just have to stand there with open hands and receive it. But receiving it isn't about sitting back and it might happen to hit you on the way past. Receiving it is about stepping up, getting out of your place of comfort, is opening up and acknowledging and saying, I don't have anything to offer. I am empty. All I have is for you. It's about making a choice. And I think that's what's so key in all of this. Sometimes I think we get all excited about following Christ and we say, this is the life that I want to lead. This is what my life is going to look like. We do what Isabella did and we get down and we die and we are buried to our sins and we rise up in that promise of new life that we are a new creation. And then we sit back and we wait for God to make it happen. But we are not just passive recipients. We are active participants in all of this. We have to make choices in all of this. Do not let sin exercise dominion, which suggests to me that if we are experiencing sin in our lives and if we're feeling like it's all out of control and we aren't good enough, we aren't patient enough, we aren't generous enough, it's because we're letting sin be the Lord of Lords. We've moved back into the old country to say, you know, this following Jesus thing is really hard work. If I want to be patient, that means, I love Paul in Ephesians. He tells the people of Ephesians that they have to learn to put up with each other. I love that he's so just obvious like that. We, in our Bible study, somebody asked the question of whether or not I thought it was possible to really be strong Christians, to be church virtually. Because there's a lot of places online now where you can hear sermons, where you can listen to worship music and all of those kind of things. And I said, I don't think so, because I think one of the most important things about being church is figuring out how to put up with each other. If Sue and Carolyn are sitting side by side and Sue decides she just wants to poke Carolyn through the whole service, see, that would probably be more likely Carolyn who would just want to poke Sue through the whole service. Sue can get up and go to a new church. That's the realities of our day. Or Sue can figure out how to deal with Carolyn. She might just put up with her. She might turn around and smack her, you know? Who knows? But we have to figure out how to put up with each other. That's part of what it is. If you want to grow as a person who grows into the new life to become the new creation that you have been promised, that you have really become, but if you want that to be seen, to be a living reality, you have to make a choice not to let sin have dominion, to work towards generosity, to rather than saying, I'm going to hold on to everything I have and give away the bits I think, instead go, God, what would you have me? Everything? Okay. And then I will trust you for everything else. You want me to be patient. You want me to step outside my comfort zone. You want me to love people who are really just unlovable. You want me to be nice to people who are mean to me. You want me to work towards reconciliation when the other person is just working towards division. Whatever it is hard. But it's a choice. You choose to live as if you have been made a new creation, or you choose to live as if you still live under the dominion of sin. That's what it comes down to. If we are experiencing that we are not new creations, I would suggest that we ask when the last time was that we made a choice to live under the kingship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Conversion and baptism aren't magic. They aren't sudden miracles that are healing of everything that is wrong. One day it'll be so great. But for now, I think that we have to be converted every day. If you think about conversion as being saying, I do not allow myself to live under the dominion of sin, but instead I live under the dominion of Christ. That's the choice. When I wake up in the morning, who gets to be the Lord of my life today? What language am I going to speak today? What world order am I going to work towards today? And then when I sit down for breakfast, because I might have already gotten it wrong by then, I say again, who is going to be the Lord of my life today? And at lunch, as I sit down over a meal, who's the Lord of my life today? Am I living in the realm of sin, or am I living in the kingdom of God? What's it going to be? That's my choice. Paul writes, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but instead present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. You know, sometimes the story is told of Martin Luther, that he didn't feel like he was good enough or smart enough, or even that he believed what it was that he was supposed to be preaching. He went to one of his confessors, one of his mentors, and he said, I'm just not sure I believe it anymore. How am I supposed to preach this? And the advice he got was, preach it until you believe it. Fake it until you believe it in some ways. That's not a call to hypocrisy. But you know, sometimes people say, there's no way I could lead worship. I couldn't stand in front of people. I couldn't speak to them. I couldn't do anything. Other people see gifts in you. They see a truth in you. So stand up and pretend you're a worship leader until you see the truth of the fact that you are a worship leader. Lead a board until you see the truth of what other people see, that you are a leader. Be a great parent until you finally convince yourself that you are a great parent. Live the new life that Jesus Christ has said is already who you are, until eventually you will believe that you really are a new creation. Make the choice every single day. Say these four words. Make it something you repeat through the day. God, I am yours. That's it. Because as great as baptism is, it's never a one-off thing. And I encourage you every single day, multiple times during the day, say these words, God, I am yours. And eventually you will start to believe that he really has made you a new creation.